Amen. Let's open with prayer. Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. Lord, thank you for each one that's gathered here together. Father, I thank you for this time now as we come before and around your word. I pray, Lord, that each heart would be tuned to hear from your word. Lord, that you would help us to understand, to take in, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning is the second part of what we started last week. Last week we looked at the commands of all of Scripture, all the commands of God, being boiled down to a single command that would entail and completely include every other command if followed and kept wholeheartedly. And that command is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That Jesus says multiple times, the Pharisees had figured that out, the Old Testament tells us that, that is the culmination, that is the essence of all the other commands given in relation to our walk, that we ought to and must love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. We see, I've heard people say, oh, the Bible is a rule book. The Bible is a law book. And the Bible is not. The Bible is a love letter from Almighty God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We looked at how everything that God has done down through the ages, He's a giving God. He's always given from the very creation of this earth, this world on which we live, all the way down through promising a Messiah, still continuing to give sun and rain and life and breath to all living things, all the way down through when His Son came and He gave Himself entirely and completely with no reserve, no holding back. God has demonstrated again and again, tirelessly, endlessly, that He so loves us. He so loves this world. And His command through Scripture in everything, if you boil it down to the essence, is to love Him in return. That's why the Bible really is a love letter. It's a love letter from a God who, John says, is love. So God is love. He lavishes His love. And His first and greatest command that entails all the other commands of how we live our life is to love Him in return. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Matthew chapter 22 is where I want to start this morning. Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 37. Jesus here speaking to the Pharisees when they came tempting Him to try to see how much He knew. Jesus said to them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And now this morning I want to continue on and look at the next verses here. He says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's all contained and it all hangs on and is fulfilled by truly obeying these two commandments. We talked last week, I titled the sermon, As Simple as Love. It can seem sometimes so complex, so hard for us to grasp. Well, what does God want me to do? What does He want of me? How am I supposed to know all of these different things? It's as simple as love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now, in this second part, this is also as simple as love. It's as simple as love. Yes, we're commanded don't kill your neighbor. We're commanded don't lie. We're commanded don't cheat. We're commanded all these different things in relation to those around us. But what does it all boil down to? What is it all, as Jesus said, hang on? It's love. It's love. All the commands, the whole scripture through, hang on these two. Because every command that has ever been given to us by God Almighty is either instructing us on the details of how to love the Lord our God or how to love our neighbor. They all boil down to those two things. It's as simple as love. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. There's nothing contained anywhere in Scripture that is beyond the realm of what these two cover. And if we could truly get these two fully, we would have nothing more to work on. We would be perfected. We would not be human anymore either, but we would have nothing left to work on because these two are the fulfillment of every other law. We see this reiterated in Mark chapter 12. Jesus here in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, he says, one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he, Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. This Pharisee, or this scribe, I don't know that he was a Pharisee, but this scribe, when he came into this conversation hoping to make Jesus not look super smart. But when he saw that Jesus' answer was 100% right and accurate, it resounded with what it appears would be his own heart, his own desire, his own love for the Lord, his own commitment. And he responds with, yeah, that's right, absolutely. God is, if you love God and you love your neighbor, that's more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's quite a thing coming from a Jewish scribe for him to realize and say that. David and Asaph, we see them saying things like that through Psalms and through the Old Testament, but there's very few of the general populace of the Jews that seem to understand that. That the purpose of those sacrifices and the purpose of those offerings was to inspire and to show and to manifest your love for the Lord and your sorrow for your wrongdoing, your love towards those around you. And God even says in one of the prophets, I believe it's in Lamentations, he says, you guys are fasting, but it's not the kind of fasting I'm interested in. You're fasting from food, but you're not loving your neighbor. You're not loving the poor. You're not caring for them. He said, the kind of fast I would like to see you do would be to lay, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically to set aside yourself, quit focusing on yourself for a little bit and focus on those around you who have needs and who you're not caring for. You're not loving them. Even in the same way as we looked this morning, even it says in 2 Corinthians 8, I believe it was we were in this morning, it says even Christ, He humbled Himself and He emptied Himself and He became poor so that we could become rich. He showed a love that gives and gives and gives. And the love that God calls us to is that same kind of love. And we can go get all philosophical and deep thinking about and working through all the nuances of the various commands throughout the Old and New Testament. But the fact of the matter is, it boils down to real, true, heartfelt love for one another and to God Almighty. We see this in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is the book where Paul is specifically writing to the Galatian church who's been drugged back into Judaism and keeping the law and all of these physical commands from the Old Testament. And it's amazing that in that book where he's speaking not of man-made laws but of the law of God itself, he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, he says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word." All the law is fulfilled in one word. One word. Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. God's concerned with two directions in our love. First and foremost, a vertical direction towards Him. A love that responds to His love that's constantly being poured down on us. And our response ought to be love in return. And secondly, our horizontal love. Because He wants us to love one another. To love those around us. And it's that simple. It's that simple. He says, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Love. Love. We see so many things, and sometimes people get overwhelmed looking in Scripture at all the things that God lays out. You should do this, you shouldn't do that. But it all boils down to and is fulfilled by love your neighbor as yourself. If you follow that, you'll get it. You'll get there. Love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And the new commandment, John says, is not just love your neighbor as yourself, but love each other as Christ loved you, which is even a slightly higher, not slightly, but a higher level of love even than I have for myself. That seems impossible, right? Because if you're honest with yourself, you know that you love yourself an awfully lot. If you stop and think about it, if you really are honest with yourself, we all love ourselves an awfully lot. Self-preservation is the strongest human nature. We will do anything just about to keep ourselves from hurt and from pain and from death. Humanity has proved that over and over and over again since the dawn of creation until now, that our strongest instinct and the thing we do most naturally and that we always will do without fail is self-preservation. And God calls us to love those around us that same level. That's a high order. But then He also calls us a step beyond that to love those around us as Christ loved. And Christ's love for us was in spite of the fact that it was going to hurt him. Christ's love for us was more than the love he had for himself. He came and he sacrificed himself freely with no reserve. He didn't hold back. Christ's love, we can't even wrap our mind around. And that's the kind of love to which he calls you and I. To love our neighbor. Love those around us. He says in one of the epistles, especially to those of the household of God. Especially to them. But then also, and not less than we love ourselves, to those around us. To our neighbor, he says. And then he defines, who's our neighbor? Our neighbor is anyone who we come in contact with. That is the essence of the story of the man who was robbed and beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. The essence of that story, he says, you know, this was a Samaritan. He was robbed. He was beaten. He was left for dead. This person came by. That person came by. The other person came by. They saw him. They went on. And then, or it was a Samaritan who came by and who loved that man, who cleaned him, who took care of him, who took him to an inn, who fed him, who stayed awake beside him all night, and then who paid the innkeeper and said, hey, take care of this man until he's all better and is ready to leave. And if you spend more than I'm leaving you, when I come through again on my return journey, I'll pay the extra. And he said, that man is the man who was truly a neighbor. That man was the farthest removed by physical geography from the Jew who had been beaten and left for dead. And if anyone would have been considered his neighbor, it should have been the scribe, the Pharisee, any of the other Jewish people. They would be his neighbor a whole lot more than the Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans were always back and forth at each other. They couldn't even be peaceable together, hardly. When Jesus asked the Samaritan woman to give him a drink of water, she's shocked. She's like, what in the world? Jews don't talk to us. Why would you ask me for water? Jews don't talk to us. And so we see Jesus clearly stating what made that man a neighbor. What made that Samaritan a neighbor to the Jew? Because he interacted with him, because he saw him, because God brought him into his life. So who's our neighbor? Everyone who comes into our life. And he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. All the law is fulfilled in one word. In one word. All the law. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10, he says, owe no man anything but to love one another. To love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Fulfilled it. If you can truly love selflessly God and those around you, you have fulfilled the entirety of the law. He goes on in verse 9, he says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, if you want to sum it all up into one little saying, here it is. It's comprehended. That means the entirety of it is fulfilled in this phrase. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. He says, and if there's any other, how is that fulfilled? In one phrase, simply love thy neighbor as thyself. He says in verse 10, he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. All the things God tells us not to do in relation to other human beings is essentially don't mistreat them. Don't be mean to them. Don't be rude. Don't be harsh. Don't be greedy. Don't be covetous. Don't be killing or stealing or lying or committing adultery, which could be another form of stealing. All of these things, he says, and if there's any others that are beyond that that I haven't already mentioned or alluded to, it's completely fulfilled, absolutely, entirely fulfilled in this one single phrase. Simply love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's a lot harder to do than it is to understand. I say it's as simple as love, because it's as simple as love to comprehend. But love, this kind of love, is not natural. It's not easy for us as human beings. It's not simple. We absolutely cannot do it at all, even a little bit, unless we first of all follow the first and greatest commandment, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Unless and until we get that in place, you can try all you want. People the world over are great philanthropists who give money to help different organizations, and they give money to help orphanages, and they send food, and they do all these things, but they are greedy, selfish, filthy-hearted people who are going to stand before God on the judgment day and be among those that say, what? I did all these other things. You know, I was a good person. And he'll say, I never knew you, because they missed the first one. You must love God. You must love God. That is the thing that all the self-help, all the good religions, all the humanism, they all miss that part. Buddha taught a lot of just be nice to people doctrines and ideologies, but it has no power and it has no effect, because Buddha didn't believe the first and most important thing, that there is a God who is the God who has lavished his love on mankind and deserves in return love, adoration, and obedience. What do you get if you're just trying to be a good person? You're just trying to be nice without that. You have no power. What's your motivation? Probably pride and self-aggrandizement. Guess what? Somewhere along the line, that's going to show through. It always does. Somewhere along the line, your pride, your selfishness, which is motivating you to do these quote-unquote good things, will shine through, because that is the only motivation that you can possibly have, unless it is motivated first and foremost by a love for God and a desire to obey Him. What other reason would I be nice to anybody else? To my own hurt? Some people give out of their abundance with very little personal hurt. Even that, they do in a way for personal gain. How many times do businesses give millions of dollars away, and you, when you find out, when you really look into why, well, it's going to give them a tax break. Or it's going to get their name published in the newspaper that, oh, look at this great man and this great company, how many millions of dollars they give. And everybody goes, oh, wow, I want to support that. I want to go shop there. Guess what? That was to help yourself. That was to help your business. And yes, maybe in your mind somewhere you have some ideal that you're helping and blessing other people, but outside of a desire to love God and to obey Him, all it boils down to is you're trying out of a basic desire to be a good person, which is based out of pride. That I'm good. I'm better than those others around me who don't give. I'm a good person. I'm a nice guy. And it's all based on me. It's selfish. Because we as human beings, outside of the grace and the power of God, that's all we have. That's all we have. We don't have anything else to pull from. Where else am I going to get motivation to do anything? The only reason most people get out of bed in the morning and go to work is so that they can provide for themselves and pay their bills. I mean, if I didn't have to work to eat and to have a roof over my head, why would I go work? If I didn't have to do all of these various labors in my life in order for me to be comfortable and content, I wouldn't do them, right? Because that is the motivation that drives humanity, is self-preservation and self-comfort. And the only way to have motivation other than that, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your neighbor as Christ loved you, a selflessness, a hurting yourself to help and bless others. There's no motivation for that outside of obedience and love to God Almighty and desiring to walk in His steps and be like Him as He commanded us to be. So Paul says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Everything, every law, every rule, every guideline set forth by God, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. I want to look yet at one more passage in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. He says, if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture. What is the royal law? It is the law which comprehends and fulfills all other laws. He says, if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Why? Because if you offended in one point, you broke the one law that culminates all of them and ties them all together, and that is love. If I do everything else right, but I steal, I broke the main, as he calls it here, the royal law, which that is a sub-law under. And if I broke that, I broke it. If I broke the law to love, I broke every law. Because every law is contained in that. To love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. So if I break any law, I've broken that law, which is the culmination of all the laws. So he says, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Because you failed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you failed to love your neighbor as yourself. It's as simple as love. It's also as complex as love. It's as simple a concept to grasp as to realize that everything God calls us to do and to not do is, in essence, to love Him and to love our neighbor. But it's also as complex as realizing that every single atom of the human makeup is to look out for me. Not God, not my neighbor. And so, brothers and sisters, we are called by God to break out of our nature, to follow Him in letting the nature of Christ live through us and in us and be fulfilled and completed in our lives. And that is the only way to obey and to follow. It's as simple as love, and it's as complex as love that is absolutely contrary to me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the clarity of your word, Lord, the cohesiveness of it. Father, that you've boiled it down and made it so simple for us. And yet, Lord, so hard for us to fulfill. Father, I pray that you would grant us the grace to truly love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That out of that could flow the fulfillment of every other love. That we would love those around us, even as we love ourselves, and even as you, Christ Jesus, loved us so selflessly. In Jesus' name, amen.